Welcome to the Smith & Rowland Show. Let's join our host, Alan Smith and Jeff Rowland.
Well, welcome, 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 everybody, to the Smith & Rowland Show. Thank you for joining us today. Make sure you head over to the KingdomPropheticSociety.org. Well, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about...
You were talking about a pastor having an abortion.
Well, that's Jeff. He's the preacher, man, and he... Progressive pastors invoking God's name to promote abortion.
There it is.
There it is.
Jason's got it pulled up on the screen.
What does invoking mean?
Invoking...
Putting God's name to it.
Oh, it's really? Better than outvoking, but...
Well, and the reason she put God's name to it is this is a... The backstory is this is a Presbyterian pastor, and they're celebrating abortion there.
This is a
Presbyterian pastor and in North Carolina.
Oh, is it North Carolina?
Yeah. And she... She preached a message in her church.
Oh, wow.
And one of the statements that she made... in her message was, I felt God's presence with me as I made the decision to end two pregnancies. But it does bring up a question. Here's my question. She says that she felt God's presence with me as she made the decision to end two pregnancies. All right, here's my question. We talk a lot about the presence of God. I think you preached a lot about the presence of God this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot. I pray daily, Lord, I need your presence. It makes me curious as to what presence people are feeling when they put God's name to that.
Well, number one, it's proof that there can be other spiritual presence out there other than God.
Yeah, because I don't deny that she felt something.
Yeah, and that's proof that she felt something, but we know it wasn't God God doesn't pat
that's
you
right.
on the back for,
that's exactly
for abortion. So,
right.
I mean, according to the Word of God. And so I would say that is a testimony that we have other entities out here that you can feel the presence of.
And people are putting God's name to it.
And putting, well, it and, is probably is a God.
Well, and I guess a more important question, is that really her God?
Yes, it'd be Baal. Would it not be
Baal?
Okay,
so that being said, then this lady needs to be saved. She needs Jesus Christ as her Savior. But, well, no. Here's the text that she used when she said this, made this statement. Listen to this text that she used from Psalm 139, 13, and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Yet a message titled Reproductive Justice Beyond the Abortion Imagery. Peter's clad in a Planned Parenthood stole, argued these verses do not condemn abortion.
Waiting
on your response. You know, and here's even a bigger problem. Listen to this. Peters is a member of Planned Parenthood's clergy advocacy board. Okay, so I'm just saying that in this article, there is so many. Who are, the guy that wrote this article, we need to call his name.
Oh, my goodness.
This article was originally published at the Washington Stand, and... we've got it on Prophecy News on the Kingdom website. But here's the thing about it. The guy that wrote this article did a phenomenal job. But here's one thing that it does, and it's another question that I have to ask. I was unaware that there was a clergy advocacy board attached to Planned Parenthood. So not only is this particular lady who says she felt God's presence when she made the decision to end two pregnancies. Not only is she insane, but apparently there's a lot more clergy out there that are insane.
Well, I tend to differ with you. I mean, I've seen insane people not this dark.
Yeah, this is not. This is pretty dark. We were talking about how in these days it seems like everything is just really ramped up, and it's very clear where people stand. It's not it's kind of almost nice in a way. Like, it might be, like, this is bad, but you know where this person is.
Yeah.
Like, they're definitely not a follower of Christ. This is not any way Christianity. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing. It's like, things are so divided now that it's almost real easy to spot the bad. in a way.
And in terms of that, I want to ask you this question for both of you. We've talked about, me and you've discussed this several times in the past. The term, or the phrase, rather, I've been saved, or I got born again. Mm-hmm. Those are phrases that was really foreign to the early church.
Mm-hmm.
They were called followers of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they were, their lives proved out by the way they lived, who they followed.
Yep.
And I think that in a lot of ways, we need to get back to that. Who are those that really follow Christ? It's those that'll follow his teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, mm-hmm. you'll know that you're my disciples if you keep my commandments and if you love me. And what I am saying is there are so many people out there that's clad in the religious garments that are making sermons and delivering messages that are not true to following the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just not, it doesn't.
Can I ask you a question in light of that?
Yep.
Why, if you did not want to really follow God and the Word of God, why would you fool with it? But to follow God and be a mockery,
yeah,
and
it
then be a,
does not make any
be
sense.
A priest or a preacher?
Does not make any sense. This is, but listen to this, I told you wrong earlier. This is, it's in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Okay.
Chapel Hill. It's a non-denominational church. Mm. But is actually a Unitarian Universalist congregation.
Now that
kind of does shed some light into
the theology
of the whole thing, because Unitarians, Universalists believe that in the end everybody's going to be saved anyway. It doesn't matter what you do.
Well, yeah, they don't believe you really have to be saved.
Yeah,
they just think you're all going to heaven.
Everybody's going to heaven.
Dogs and all. Everybody's going to heaven.
In the end. Yeah. Alan, sure enough, this. We look at an article and we have this tendency to think that this is, you know, okay, well, this is just one isolated event and da, 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 on and on. No, this is a bigger issue. And what has been my passion for some time now is that the church has been so lulled asleep,
mm-hmm.
that we tolerate and allow this kind of thing with no defense of the truth. And I'm not even sure how that makes me feel to say that even. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not like the Lord needs us to defend him.
I don't know. I don't know, Jeff. I mean, I'm not allowing that.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
not
me
allow
neither.
That. I mean,
neither.
That's not.
Yeah, I agree. But
I mean,
there's a lot of people that are.
I mean, there's really nothing you can do to stop them. They're, I mean, it's just.
I agree.
It's
I agree.
Just the only way you can differentiate. I mean, you have to just say, I don't agree with this. This is not right.
But I'll say this part. I think it is I think it's blasphemy to do this in the name of God.
You know, that's the part
and call
that kind
it
of
a church.
Flips my trigger.
Yeah. I mean, come
number
on.
One is why?
That this
why? Why would you want to do that? So I've got that question out there. Why would they do that? So let's explore the why in just a second. And help me here. I mean, why would you do this? I mean, do you not think that the reason a person would do this, would it not be so you could be such a, you want to put it in the face of those people you hate?
Exactly.
In other words, I don't even know that they really believe what they're saying.
Right.
But I do know they're play acting it out. So to Christians, they can get in your face. Well, right here, I mean, it's kind of like, we definitely know it's making a mockery.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's, what's my word I'm looking for, guys? It's like they're wanting to be in the face of Christians with this, with a sicko sarcasm, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But it's another word that escapes me. I can't find
the
one
thing,
bad enough.
The thing that...
But you hear what I'm saying.
I hear exactly what you're saying.
What's
I don't know why neither. I really don't know why, but I can. It's. I guess get this eerie feeling that we would all be alarmed to know what the hidden beliefs are of so many people that attend church today in terms of these social issues. Here in this article, the author. Now, whether this is true or not, I don't know, but this is the author's opinion, maybe. The author says that what she was trying to do was to jar her reluctantly pro-abortion audience into political action. Now, that being said, it appears that those that would give this kind of a message, they don't mind to get involved in the political world. They don't mind to be involved in political activism. Those that believe that the Word of God is true, it's like, well, I know maybe I should get involved and speak, but well, even, I don't want, there's a hesitancy in the church.
Well, even if, am I wrong here? This crowd can say this, make articles, put it on Facebook, put it everywhere, and it's fine. But if you come out against that, you're censored.
Exactly.
Is that not true?
No, that is exactly
true. I mean, so you'd be censored.
That's exactly true.
So it looks like to me there's a provoking here being done by the dark side. It's like there's a provoking, and, you know, just let it be known, I can be provoked, I guess, today.
Well, yeah, and so can I. This part, I am going to say this because I'm having to eat a lot of my words from when I was younger. Because I understand something now that I didn't understand then. At my age now, I look back at the way things kind of used to be.
Yeah.
And I look back at that and I say, we're not better off now than we were. The health of the church is not better off now than it was. It's just not. So, you know, that causes me to say, you know, it's not like I'm against change. Change is not the issue, but all I know is we're not as well off now as we were.
Mm-hmm.
We're not as passionate for Christ as we were. We're not holding to truth like we were. And people can tell me all day long that, oh, it's always been this bad. No, it hadn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it hadn't been this bad.
Just no, it hadn't. Yeah.
I'm glad you passed this.
The Reverend Dr. Rebecca Todd Peters says that she is the professor of religious studies and a founding director of the Poverty and Social Justice Program at Elon University. But one of her top sermons is a new beatitude. Blessed are those who end pregnancies. That's one of her top sermons.
You did not read that.
Yeah.
Jason,
so you can go on YouTube and watch it.
You made it up.
A new beatitude.
And she's a professor.
And that's her sermon.
Now, what school did you say she was a professor at?
Elon.
Elon College.
Elon University.
Elon University.
But her kind of motto is abortion is a moral and social good, and many good Christian women have abortions.
Well, the truth of the matter is, can I just ask you this, Alan?
Yes, sir.
Jason, let me ask you this. She is a professor at Elon University, which is supposed to be a Christian school.
It's supposed to be a big Christian school.
Right?
Yeah.
Was, maybe.
Okay, now, people that go there to be schooled for ministry are under that kind of influence. I'm telling you, this darkness is bigger than what we think.
Well, you know what?
It's more prevailing than we
Peterson
think.
Says. You know, you call it what's your name for?
The Satanic Temples of Doom.
Of Doom. And Peterson says that's been the ruination of the country and the world.
Well, I agree with him.
Or our universities.
I agree with him. There's no doubt.
This lady has been in, like, insane amounts of, like, globalist, like, I mean, all kinds of mess.
Well, it says here that the Community Church of Chapel Hill, which sounds like a non-denominational church, but is actually a Unitarian Universalist congregation. Unitarians believe there is no Trinity, while Universalists believe faith in Jesus isn't required. I didn't know that. For salvation, because God will save everyone, in other words. Yeah, that's right. It's a church that shares neither a gospel nor even a God with Christianity or the New Testament. Small wonder, then, if they hold no great love of the Scripture that revealed a doctrine and a faith they deny. So Universalism, that's definitely the...
Well, that's the foundation, I think, behind why she arrives at the conclusions that she does, is because mindset.
Did Universalism make her like this, or did she gravitate to Universalism?
You know, that's right.
Because it suited her sin.
Get this. She's a preacher's kid.
Really? Well, watch this. The message, this message that she preached was on July the 9th.
Okay? Of this year.
Of this year. And it says that she's an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church. Now,
that's
maybe she's...
That's
okay. But now watch this. Here's what she said. When she ended her two pregnancies, she said, "And I felt no guilt, no shame, no sin."
I totally believe her after reading some of this other stuff. I believe she didn't.
I don't think she did either.
She doesn't have a conscience.
She does not. Which, again, goes to even a bigger problem. I'm saying that this is a respected by the academic world.
Correct.
She's a respected a member of the academic world and a professor at a seminary and apparently an ordained minister from the Presbyterian Church, who says that she felt the presence of God when she ended these pregnancies, and she felt no guilt, she felt no shame, she felt no sin. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that there is a that this darkness is bigger than what we think, and I think it's more widespread than what we think. And I keep sounding that alarm and that trumpet, and I don't. I'm not real sure that it's being heard. Well, but
I think it's just a thing to say. This is very, be very clear. This is not Christianity.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm.
This is not. Would you like another good quote from her?
I don't know that I can stand it, but go ahead.
So this comes from her article, "Must a Female Godmother?" I don't know what that even means, but.
Jason, where do you get this stuff?
This is from her website, her blog. She says, "My adult life has been marked by my desire to reimagine God as female, beyond gender, beyond human, and quite frankly, as anything but a divine father. In fact, one of my first published pieces was on embracing God as a goddess, offering an important starting point for the theological reflection about the nature of God that has been overlooked in 2,000 years of male theological discourse creating God in their image."
Well, okay, and
has to be something that really wounded her at some point in her life. Because she says she's a pastor, but everything she attacks Christianity on every front.
Do we find it odd or strange that what she's basically saying is she's putting God in the trans community?
Basically.
That's what she's doing. Yeah. And I don't think that can be overlooked, that these social issues are connected. Mm-hmm. They're connected by a demonic force, by darkness that's prevailing. This is the strategic attack against the church. Mm-hmm. And this is why the church needs revival. Would you agree with that? Mm-hmm. Can I just say, unless we have a move of the Spirit of God, this is the kind of prevailing darkness that has targeted the minds of our children, and it's targeted the minds of those who believe they're called of God to do something, who seek training to enhance that calling. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe that this is the strategic warfare that Satan is employing.
I totally agree. Jeff, we talked about this. We can kind of close it down here with Alistair Begg as his preacher, and he talks about homosexuality and things. And that's his picture up the front, if you can see on your screen there. And he is an incredible preacher. But here's what he said in light of what we're talking about. Homosexual people are either hated or affirmed. Their opinions are either you hate me or you affirm me. And we can see that in the political landscape, that you tend to choose one or the other. But as a Christian, we do neither. So we don't condemn the person. Definitely, though, what you're standing for is not biblical. It's
right.
not.
Yeah. Right.
But it says a Christian does neither. We do not hate, nor do we affirm. We cannot hate because of God's word. We cannot affirm because of God's word. And then Alistair goes on to say this. We have to be prepared to say that we are unprepared to rewrite the Bible in order to accommodate a society that needs the Bible and that needs the Jesus that is the focus of the Bible.
Yeah, I don't think that you can say it any better.
So what this lady needs is the Jesus of the Bible.
Yes.
Is what she needs, and it does frustrate.
It's frustrating, but can I just say, in terms of what you just showed up there. I have received mercy and grace from God that is so undeserving. And I would, the older I get, we used to say this a long time ago, and it came back to me. I need a Savior more today than I've
That's
ever
right.
needed a Savior.
That's right.
And I've become more and more aware
yes.
of that every day that I live.
Yeah.
That without Jesus, listen, I'm
hopeless.
A mess
yeah.
from Alistair Begg. Can I just say this? The thing that I know is because I have received, to whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
And because I've received such mercy and grace, I need to learn how to be a vessel of mercy
yeah.
and grace. That's
what
right. Joe Barrett was preaching this morning. Mm-hmm. I need to learn how to forgive those that have wronged me and mm-hmm. give grace to those that have wronged me.
Mm-hmm.
I find something interesting about forgiveness, though. Forgiveness mm-hmm. is given by the Lord.
Yeah.
To those who ask.
That's right.
Unforgiveness is a result of never asking for forgiveness.
That's scary.
Now, that's scary.
That's scary.
I was watching an episode of The Chosen just yeah. to follow up on that.
Yeah.
I was watching an episode of The Chosen, which, by the way, if you're listening and you haven't watched it, you need to watch
The Chosen.
It will change your life. In one of those episodes, Jesus is having a conversation with a man who brought his daughter
uh-huh.
to be a follower of Jesus. She wanted to follow Christ, but the daddy didn't. He didn't think this was a great
right.
idea. And so he's having this conversation with Jesus about his daughter. Is his daughter going to be okay if I leave her here with
yeah.
you and all of this? And Jesus said, I understand your concern. He said this. He said, I ask a whole lot of those that follow me.
Yeah. Wow.
I ask nothing of those that don't.
Wow. Wow, that'll blow your hair back.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I got to tell you, in terms of what you've got up here, homosexual people are mm-hmm. either hated or they're affirmed. Their options are you either hate me or you affirm me.
Yeah.
The Christian doesn't either.
Yeah, doesn't either.
We don't hate because God's word says we don't hate.
Yeah.
We don't affirm it because God's
word
does not affirm it. And that's the answer. And even with this lady, that's one of my fears, that the church is stuck in this paradigm.
Yeah.
They're told you're either haters
or you're affirming.
Or you're affirming.
Yeah.
And we're going to put you in one of those categories.
Right.
And this woman is trying to do that with an entire congregation
that's
that
right.
she's over. She's putting them in one of those categories, and both are against the Word of God.
That's right.
And
wow.
I just fear that that's kind
that's
of
right.
a large segment
I
of the church.
I think you
world.
Just knocked it out of the park right there.
Yep.
All right, Jason.
Yep.
Jeff, why don't you close us out?
Amen.
Father, we love you. And Lord, forgive us. Mm. Oh, God, forgive us. I pray right now for this pastor, this lady who
yes,
says she's
do.
A pastor.
Yes,
I pray for her. I pray, God, for grace to be given to her. I pray for Holy Spirit conviction.
Amen.
Yep.
Lord, help her to realize your presence and not the presence of a false God.
That's right.
Yep.
And in your presence, may she fall to her knees
mm-hmm.
and confess you as her Savior.
Yes, Lord.
And become a follower of your way.
Yes, Lord.
And help us, Lord, not to hate or affirm, but to hold fast to the truth. Your word is truth.
Amen.
And may we hold it dear to our hearts. And we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right.
Thank you, guys.
See you guys. See you next week.
Thank you for joining today's Smith & Rowan Show. You can check out our website at kingdompropheticsociety.org and our daily unplugged podcast at smithandrowanshow.podbean.com. You can also join us on Amazon, Apple, or Spotify.